I'm not as young as I once was. A lock-in. They want to do an all-nighter, and I'm thinking there's no way I can do it. Kind of makes me miss my youth pastoring days, though, Aaron. It really does. Thank you and Keisha for all that you do for this church and putting all your resources and efforts and time into young kids who need Jesus. And then you hear the gospel. You guys are amazing. And I'm so glad that you're part of my ministry team. And I just cannot thank you from the bottom of my heart enough for how much that Friday was just, it was wonderful. It was a blast. It was a really good time. And we were already discussing, you know, next big events. So unfortunately, Beulah Beach will not happen for the teens this year. We missed the boat on that, but we've been kicking around the idea of taking the kids out to Kentucky, going to see the Ark or the Creation Museum. There is some youth money there, but if you guys would be praying, and as we put together, you know, as this team puts together an idea of when and how and, you know, how much it's going to be and all that, because the Ark is not cheap. It is a very expensive per person to go. But we want to take the kids out of town for a day or so and let them experience one of those cool things that we have in near Ohio, I should say. It's not in Ohio. It's in Kentucky. But anyway, thank you. Thank you, guys. Would you guys give them a round of applause for that? Yes. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to be over this this portion of our service. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, you are just so awesome. You're so wonderful. Lord, I don't have to tell you how great you really are. But Lord, you sent your Son, Jesus, to be the Savior of the world. And you told us to be doers of the Word. So Lord, as we open up your Word today, Lord God, as we read it, as we study it a little bit, the doing part, Lord, I just ask that the Holy Spirit would just take over and help me step aside and let me just be a vessel this morning, just talking about your word, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for being our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our coming King. And we can't wait until the day that you come back. But Lord God, we want to just say thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts, that we can come together in freedom right now, and we can do this without worry and fear and anxiety. God, as you would, as we open up this time, would you just please fill the room with your presence? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so, good morning, church. One more time. Good morning, church. Oh, there we go. All right, somebody had coffee this morning. We're going to be in Luke, we're starting Luke today. Luke is an exciting book. What I want to do is I actually want to read the first 8 verses. So Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. I'm going to read it, and then I have some things that I'd like to share with you guys on my journey through Luke thus far. So Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. It says, "Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us, just as those who are from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod the king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And blamelessly in all the commandment, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty. All right, I'm going to stop right there. So today, I wanted to read the passage first, so you guys have an idea of what I want to talk about. So today we're starting a new adventure in the Bible together as a church. We are starting to look at the book of Luke. As you know, I always like to give details about the book we study. I want to give you guys more knowledge. My goal in giving out each detail of the books of the Bible is to help you become little theologians yourself, right? I want you guys to become a little bit more theological in your thinking. I want you to all become researchers of the Scripture and to learn from God's Word. With that being said, that is exactly what Luke did. He researched Scripture. He interviewed the other apostles. He spent lots of time with the Apostle Paul, as they were really good friends. He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21. 2 Peter 1:21 says, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Luke wrote his books because he was inspired by the Spirit of God. What do we know about Luke? Well, first of all, he was a Gentile from Antioch. He was a doctor. Colossians 4:14 says, "Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas." All right, so we know he was a doctor. With all of Luke's education and research, he asked this question: who was this Jesus? And then he wrote in such a way that after his research, that anyone reading God's word would come to know the answer to who is this Jesus. Luke wrote about the life of Christ, revealing Jesus as the perfect man, emphasizing his humanity. And Luke was written by a Greek to the Greek world. He wrote with such historical accuracy that helped identify the historical context that he described. He wrote about how Jesus had so much compassion and grace on the Gentiles and Samaritans and other outcasts. Luke highlights justification through faith. And that's in Luke 18:9-14. Justification through faith. Now, if you guys remember, justification is just as if I'm not found not guilty, right? Just as a justification. So I'm found not guilty through the faith in Christ, right? And he highlighted that in his book, the book of Luke. And by the way, he's also the author of Acts, most likely. So the book of Luke was written around AD 60 to 62. Although the author is not mentioned by name for the book of Luke or Acts, there is overwhelming evidence that Luke was the author of both these books. He was writing to Theophilus, most likely a soldier and convert in Caesar's house. And by the way, Theophilus means lover of God. Lover of God. So my first point today, the beginning of the letter, Luke 1:1-4. I want you to think about this question. Are you willing to study the Word of God so that you can help others in knowing Jesus? Are you willing to study the Word of God so that you can help others in knowing Jesus? Luke took time to study the Word of God so that he could write books that compelled and shared the gospel. He wrote in such a way, showing us the humanity of Jesus, but he also emphasized on the healings of Jesus. It makes sense, he was a doctor. So he really focused on those things. So Luke opens up his letter and acknowledgement of other writers. He used these writers, most likely Matthew and Mark, when he did his research. Luke wanted to set in order the ministry of Christ in an authoritative, logical, and factual order. He wanted to include the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. So when you look at Luke chapter 1, and probably next week, we're going to look at the prophecy of the birth of John the Baptist, and also the prophecy of the birth of Jesus. He opened up really right away with both of those prophecies that were prophesied in the Old Testament, right? So he was writing with historical accuracy. While we are not eyewitnesses today, we are not eyewitnesses of Jesus because, that was 2,000 years ago. How many of you have seen Jesus in person? Okay, I didn't think so. I haven't either. Not yet, anyway. But oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, right? But Luke was around that time, and he got to interview these other eyewitnesses of the things that were going on. But while we are not eyewitnesses, you can still study and research God's Word today and make it matter to somebody else's life. You can still study and research, just like Luke studied and researched. He had one up on us. He had the eyewitnesses. But we have historical data backing up God's Word. We have God's Word. We have God's Word. We are to research it and study it and meditate on it day in and day out, all day long. And we are to read it. We are to hear it. We're to learn from it. And then as you go and make disciples of all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as you go into the world, you will be able to go and help someone come to know Jesus and teach them how to study the Bible. You see, one of the reasons why we do church day or week after week after week is so that we become more ingrained in God's Word just a little bit. We learn God's Word. We study it. We take a passage and we learn from it. We go and we digest it. And we go out into the world and we teach others what God is teaching us. The Holy Spirit should be our guide. And he helps guide us and direct our path. And we know that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, right? And Luke got that. That's why he wrote such a wonderful gospel. The only Gentile writer to ever make it into the Bible, by the way. Everybody else is Hebrew or Israel. Greek. He was Greek. The only Gentile writer, right? Again, keep going back to this question. Ask yourself this question. Are you willing to study the Word of God so that you can help others in knowing Jesus? Folks, I can tell you right now, one of the reasons why the church is declining in America is because the study of God's Word is not important. The study of God's Word is nil. The study of God's Word I get complaints about going verse by verse or jumping around passages. I get complaints about different things. I hear it. The church is declining in America because people just don't care about the Word of God anymore. They want a 15-minute message, check the box, and on to the next thing. They got to beat all the Methodists to Chuck E. Cheese, okay? Folks, I got to tell you guys, you about lost your pastor yesterday to the Mormons. I was sitting in my car, just minding my own business with my windows rolled down, waiting on Daniel to get out of Hobby Lobby, and here come the Mormons, all three of them walking by in white shirts, and they said, "Hey, you want to come to church with us tomorrow?" I said, "No, I'm a pastor at a church, but thank you." They try to get me. "You all about lost your pastor." And they're Mormon. What would it be like if we were to take the gospel like they did? What if we were going out and asking people to come to church with us? What would it be like? And what would it be if we told them, "Hey, we actually read the Word of God here. We're learning about the book of Luke right now. We just learned about the book of James and how it means to work out your faith and salvation." One day, all the teachers of the Bible are going to stand before God, and they're going to be held accountable for everything they've ever said. And I do not want to stand before God and tell him, "I was more interested in giving a 15-minute message, God. I just wanted to give a one-liner verse, and that was it." That's dangerous territory. That's dangerous territory. Luke, I think, had the same kind of mindset. He didn't want to just give a one-liner message. He didn't want to just give one scripture. He wrote two books to his friend Theophilus, meaning lover of God. Are you a lover of God today? Are you studying God's word today? Are you meditating on it? We should all be ministers of the gospel today, sharing the word of God with all those around us. Do we care about our neighbors as much as Jesus does? Or are we going out of our way to prepare people for the end? Are we going out of our way to prepare people for the end? The end is when Jesus comes back and raptures the church, whenever that is. No man knows the day or the hour, not even the Son. Only the Father knows when Jesus is coming back. And he is going to come back one day, I promise. It is prophesied that he's coming back. Luke wrote about it. James wrote about it. All the apostles wrote about it. Paul said, "We are in the last days 2,000 years ago. We've been in the last days since Jesus ascended into heaven. No man knows the day or the hour." So why in the world are we just sitting down week after week in the pew, getting fed and not going out and sharing the gospel with other people? Telling pastors to stop talking so much. Shorten your messages. Do one verse. You don't have to back everything up you say with scripture. Luke backed everything up with scripture. The Apostle Paul backed everything up with scripture. Jesus backed everything up with scripture. When Satan came and tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights, he was in the desert for 40 days fasting, and in 3 days he was tempted by the devil. And Jesus used scripture to refute Satan. If we're not studying the word, if we're not hearing the word, if we're not meditating on the word, if we don't know it, if we don't memorize it, how are we going to combat Satan? And that's who the church is combating right now. It's spiritual warfare. And the reason why we're on the decline is because Satan is winning and we're letting him. Luke didn't let Satan win. He was a minister of the gospel. Are we ministers of the gospel? Are we little Theophiluses? Are we lovers of God? Are we really taking the time to meditate on God's word? I had somebody tell me that guys don't read. Guys, instead of having libraries in their houses anymore, have video game caves. They're 100% correct. If you go, I promise you, you'll find video games at my house. Yes, you will. But you'll also find 1.5 million books, too. Commentaries and dictionaries and Bibles, because I want to be a student of God's word. And week after week, as I teach you guys and as I preach to you guys, I'm not preaching at you. I am trying to preach so that you will learn to become students of the word yourself, so that you can go and not just take my word for it, but you can go and say, "Okay, what was Pastor saying today? I want to go to Luke chapter 1 and go and talk about how they were ministers of the gospel. Like it says in verse 2. Again, do we care about our neighbors as much as Jesus does? Are we willing to go out of our way to prepare people for the end? Mark 1:1 says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, behold, I send my messengers before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Hebrews 2:1-4 says this, therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. We must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. But how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard it. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. All right, that passage, therefore we must pay attention closer to, that's Hebrews 2:1-4. Listen, we have to be paying close attention to what people are telling us today. There are false prophets out there. There are false teachers. There are people who say, give me $1 million so I can buy another plane. What does Daniel like to say? Preaching for the Lamborghini or something? You know? There are pastors out there who are driving around Ferraris. And I'm driving around a little red Honda Sonata with a little broken handle off the side. I got duct tape on my bumper. All right? It's not about the money, folks. Although, investing in your church is a good idea. It's an investment to further the gospel, to help keep this ministry going. I won't preach on that today. I wanted to preach on Luke. But do we love our neighbor as ourselves? And do we care about enough of their souls that are dying and going to hell? Do we care enough to study? Does that compel us to study God's word so that we can know it in our hearts? You see, people have knowledge here of scripture. Atheists can quote scripture better than I can, but they don't have it here. They don't have it here. They have it here. And they want to tell me they know the Bible. Well, you know of the Bible, but you really don't know the Bible, because the Bible is active and living. It's the very breath of God breathed out as a love letter to us. Luke really brought that out. Luke brought that out. Let's not drift away from it. Let's not drift away from the word of God. This message was declared by angels, proved reliable, right? And Luke talked about the appearance of angels to Elizabeth and to Mary. Actually, an angel showed up to Zechariah, and he didn't believe the angel, and he wasn't able to talk until John the Baptist was born. Are you willing to study? And as we study, we become more righteous people. We start moving towards righteousness. We start working towards, we grow in salvation, right? So my second point is this. The righteousness of John's parents, that's Luke 1:5-8. Here's another question. Are you walking in righteousness with God? Are people able to say that about you, or see that in you, that you're walking towards righteousness with God? Zechariah and Elizabeth were both of the line of Aaron, right? Aaron was the priest. That was a brother of Moses who helped lead the Israelites after he built a golden calf. I didn't build a golden calf. So when I tell people my name's Aaron, like the brother Moses, I always say, but I didn't build a golden calf. All right? So you guys remember who that is. Aaron was a priest. And both Zechariah and Elizabeth were from his lineage. And they were walking with God, keeping the commandments, but were unable to have any children. And this was a shameful act back in the day. Well, shameful thing back in the day to not be able to conceive and have children. All right? In the Old Testament, they talk about barrenness. And we know that Rachel, Samuel's mother, was unable to have kids. And she was praying in the temple. And she was praying so fervently that they thought Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. And she said, "I'm not drunk, I'm just praying for a baby." And we know that she promised God that if she would conceive and have a baby, that she would turn that child over to God and be in his service. And Samuel was the one who anointed King David, right? And also, just anointed King David, right? Elizabeth was going to conceive and bear John the Baptist, who made the way for Jesus. He prepared the way for Jesus. He was a messenger of God, right? There's correlation there. It's amazing that God can take somebody and say, okay, I'm going to use this for my glory, because Elizabeth was old. Can one of you elderly lady think about having a child now in the age you're in? I think it would be painful. They were up in years, but they were righteous people. They were righteous, and God was going to use John the Baptist to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. He was a messenger. They were righteous people. Noah, all right? So when I was doing my research, it took me to Noah. Check this out. Noah was righteous in the days according to Noah was righteous in his days according to Genesis 7:1. The comparison between Noah and Zechariah is that they were both living in evil societies. Herod was the evil king, yet Zechariah was a priest who loved the Lord and served him. At this time, in the days of Noah, we know that God told Noah to build an ark. And he preached for 100 years to come to know Christ. He preached about God for 100 years, and people made fun of him, mocked him, and told him he was stupid. And he was foolish for building an ark. Yet he continued to build the ark. He did not stop. And at the end, we all know what happened. Noah and his family went on the ark, and everybody else drowned. Right? It was wicked in that day. It was wicked in the days of Herod. Herod, after Jesus was born, he killed all male children in Bethlehem 2 years and younger because he wanted to kill the king. The Messiah, right? He wanted to kill the Messiah. It was evil. Guess what, folks? I can see our society moving more and more evil today. More and more wickedness today. More and more violence today. More and more lawsuits today. I mean, people are lawsuit happy. People are so quick to draw a knife or a gun on you for something silly. And we already know that sin is rampant among America. More accepting of everything, except for Christianity. Christians are becoming a minority in this country very fast. It's okay for Muslims to pray in school. It's not okay for a child to have a Bible open in school. It's okay for all kinds of nasty things written on t-shirts in school, but it's not okay to have a cross at school. Luke wrote about this in that time. We know that was evil in the days of Noah. Luke was a researcher. Yet Zechariah didn't care about having a cross on his shirt, so to speak. He wanted to be righteous in the eyes of God. He wanted to be like a Theophilus, a lover of God. Him and his wife both, they were righteous. We are to walk in a manner that is righteous in a society that is turning their backs on God and filling themselves with deceit and hate. We have to be lovers of God to the end. we have to be lovers of God to the end, folks. We have to be lovers of God. And the only way we become more in love with God is by reading His Word. Reading it. Studying it. Meditating on it. It's not just reading it. Reading a chapter a day. Check, I'm done. I read my Bible. No. As we talk about in Bible study, you read John, right? You read the first seven chapters and you keep reading that and reading that and reading that over and over and over until it's ingrained in you. And then you move on to 14 to 21 and then 21 to 30. However you study the Word of God, okay? Maybe you can't do seven chapters in one day. I'm not telling you to have to do seven chapters. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you got to read it more than just checking the box. Church is more than just checking the box. Okay, I'll see you next Sunday. I'll see you Wednesday. That's it. Have a great week. We're supposed to be a family. We're supposed to be coming together, closer together. We're supposed to be doing life outside of these four walls together. People are supposed to be able to see that in us. Luke wrote about that. The apostles spent time together. Luke met Philip, the evangelist, and his daughters. Luke went and traveled with Paul on his missionary journeys. And when Paul was in prison, he was able to have visitors. And Luke went and visited Paul in prison. Because that's how he was writing Acts. He was a researcher. So if there's two things that I think that you can get out of Luke 1, 1 to 8, is they were willing to be messengers, and they were willing to be righteous. Are we willing to be messengers of God's word? Are we willing to be righteous in the eyes of God? Are we willing to rise above sin? And as we learn about the humanity of Christ in this study, as we walk through this, and it's going to take a while, just so you're all aware, as we study more of Luke and study his research, I hope that you learn who Jesus really is, the Savior of the world. And you learn about his humanity. You learn about his humanity. I have something that I would like to share with you as I was researching, I was studying another thing. I have something I'm going to read to you guys. This is from a hymn book that one of my pastor buddies got for me this week. And it's got scripture reference for every line of the hymn. I won't be able to read all the scripture references. And it's going to take me a minute to read this hymn to you guys. But the title of it is, I'm Praying for You. I have a Savior, He's pleading in glory, so precious, though earthly, enjoyments be few. And now He is watching in tenderness o'er me. But oh, that my Savior was your Savior too. For you I am praying. I'm praying for you. I have a Father to me He has given, a hope for eternity, precious and true. And soon will my spirit be with Him in heaven. But oh, that He let me bring you with me. For you I am praying. For you I am praying. I have a harp in those regions all glorious away, far away in that ocean of blue, and there shall it breathe out its music, melodious. But could I know one was tuning for you, a harp was tuning for you. For you I am praying, for you I am praying. I have a crown, and I'll wear it for ever eternal. There's a reason why I don't do hymns. But it's a beautiful, beautiful poem. I have a crown and I'll wear it forever, encircled with jewels of heavenly hue. 'Twas purchased by Jesus, my glorified Savior. But oh, could I know one was purchased for you? For you I am praying, for you I am praying. I have a robe tis resplendent with whiteness, awaiting a time tis concealed from my view. Tis life everlasting, tis Jesus, tis heaven, and oh, dearest friend, let me be receiving one for you too. For you I am praying, for you I am praying. I have a rest, and an earnest is given, though now for a time 'tis concealed from my view. 'Tis life ever. Oh, I'm sorry. I have a peace, and it's calm as a river, a peace that is its author and giver. But oh, could I know it was given to you? For you I am praying, for you I am praying. All right, so it goes on to verse section 8. For you I am praying, for you I am praying. For you I am praying, for you, for you, yes, you. And soon shall I hear your rejoicing and saying, your dear loving Savior is my Savior too. And prayer will be answered, and prayer will be answered, and prayer will be answered for you, yes, for you. And when he's found you, tell others the story. And when he has found you, tell others the story, how Jesus extended his mercy to you. Then point them away to the regions of glory, and pray for that your Savior may bring them there too. For my prayer will be answered, for my prayer will be answered, for you, prayer will be answered, 'twas answered for you. Speak of that Savior, the Father in heaven, that harp, crown, and robe which are waiting for you, that peace you will possess and the rest will be given. Still praying that Jesus may save them like you, and prayer will be answered, and prayer will be answered, and prayer will be answered, 'twas answered for you. Are we praying for the lost? Are we praying that they come to know this Jesus, the Savior of the world? Apologize for all the little hiccups. It's line by line. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. This was my prayer for those who are lost. 1 Peter 1:8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him. And rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Luke and his research brought all that together for us. Luke is in the Bible because it's an inspiration. It's inspired. It's God-breathed. He was led by the Holy Spirit. I am praying for you. I'm going to heaven. Are you going to come with me too? One day I'm going to have a crown full of jewels. Are you going to have one too? I'm going to have a robe all full of splendor. I want you to have one too. I have a Savior. His name is Jesus. Is he your Savior too? Are you willing to study the Word of God and allow Jesus to be your real Savior? Please come and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today if you do not know him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, I come before you right now. Lord, this message was about messengers and people living righteous lives. Putting on you, Lord Jesus, and putting off the ways of sin. As it says in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Lord Jesus, right now, I don't want to pray for any healing other than a spiritual healing for people. I want to pray for right now, Lord Jesus, that if anybody does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord God, that they would come. They would come, break their hearts of their will, and bring them forward, Holy Spirit, lead these people to salvation. Let them come. Lord, I pray for the lost. I pray for the lost in Greenville, Ohio. I pray for all the people who are drug addicts and are lost. I pray for all the people who are caught in addiction and are lost. I pray for all those who are atheists and are lost. I am praying for them. Lord Jesus, you're my Savior, and I want them to be, have you to be their Savior too. One day you're coming back, and I would love to see just a few more saints come into the boat. You're our lifeboat. The Titanic is sinking. Would you please help us get people on the lifeboat, Lord Jesus? Help us to preach messages of truth, of your word. Help us to be messengers. Help us to go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Give us the boldness, as it says in Acts 1:8, that the Holy Spirit will come upon us and we'll be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Lord Jesus, we don't want to be checking the box. Lord Jesus, we want to put away all of our anger and malice toward one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to put those actions away, and we need to work together as the body of Christ. We need to work together. We need to love one another. We need to spend time together outside these four walls so that we can learn together. Because you modeled that. You modeled that for the disciples, Lord Jesus. You spent time with them. You spent 3.5 years with them daily, teaching them, breaking bread with them, showing them miracles, showing them your humanness, showing them your glory and splendor. And Lord Jesus, I just come before your throne right now. And I pray for our teenagers. Lord Jesus, we had a blast Friday night trying to build relationships with the teenagers, so that in hopes that they would walk out these walls one day and they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, some of these teens have a hard life. They've walked a hard life. They have had hard shoes to fill. And there's a lot of expectations on certain ones. Lord Jesus, would you please help us to lower our expectations of our teenagers? Not because we don't want to hold them accountable, because we do. But most importantly, we want them to be, we want you to be their Savior too. Lord, you put together the CMA church. You put this body together. It's been around for 108 years. Serving the community of Greenville, Ohio, and the surrounding areas. Lord, we want to be a little evangelist here as we do VBS coming up. We want to reach the little children. Lord Jesus, we want you to be their Savior too. Would you please let this hymn be ringing in your ears, Lord Jesus, that we are praying as a body for the lost souls of Greenville, Ohio. We want to be praying for them. We want to be messengers. We want to be students of your word so that we know it and we believe it and we live it. Lord Jesus, would you fill us with the Holy Spirit and give us the boldness to walk out these doors to share the gospel, which is you. Lord, I believe that we're willing to be messengers, and I believe we're willing to be a righteous people. Lord, would you please help us live that way? We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you. And we want to give you all the praise. We want to give you all the glory. We want to give you all the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We have one more song.
big laugh that we